Today on Real Radio.
And every one of us who have suffered can encourage those who have suffered. If we have been rejected, it's easy for us to encourage you who have been rejected. If you've been beaten, we can encourage you because we know how it feels to be beaten for the gospel's sake. And so the words that Paul says to Timothy are very heavy. We need to take them seriously.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy, and we'll be looking at the last six verses of chapter 1, as well as other passages. Paul continues to encourage his son in the faith. In fact, at times he uses military analogies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Faithful Soldier.
Why don't you turn right now in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 as we continue our study through the book of 2 Timothy and Paul's letter to a young pastor who, if we really understood where Timothy was at, our hearts would break. I've got to tell you, and I don't know about you, you know, I probably say this every week. I don't listen to the tapes because I can't stand to hear my own voice. But have you ever done that before? Heard your voice? It's gross. But I've got to tell you, every week that I begin to prepare for this, you know, I get all goofy. My eyes get well up with tears. My heart, you know that funny feeling inside? It gets kind of all fluttery and stuff, and you get kind of goofy. And then the phone rings or somebody comes by and you look like, you know, you've been sleeping or something. And you're just kind of thrashed, you know. As I meditate on the things that God has done in the life of Paul, I just want, in fact, to be honest with you, I lust for God to do those things in my life. This book has been such a blessing to me personally. Maybe you haven't received anything. I've received a lot from this book. I need this book. And he's talked about suffering. He's talked about perseverance and really seeing it through to the end. And I need that. And you need that. If you are going to be a Christian in any way of commitment, there's going to be times when you're tried and tested. And you're going to need the strength of the Lord to make it through. Timothy has been that book for me. I want you to know personally, I have felt like giving up many times. I've come home and said, honey, I'm quitting. You can't do that. And she'll fight with me. She'll contend with me. I need the encouragement. And this morning, as we go and see where Paul is this day, his messages encourage Timothy to really, Tim, get with it. Be strong. Last week in our study, we saw clearly concerning the things that we ought not to be ashamed of the gospel. We had some promises laid out to us. Paul told us not to be ashamed. And we studied clearly how really our shame stems from really not knowing our God very well, from not really experiencing the reality of the gospel in our lives. And then we also studied that we kind of shy away from going for it because of pride, and the pride in the way of manifestation and rejection. We talked about sharing the gospel and how we kind of shy back because somebody might think we're weird. You know what? They probably already do think we're weird. But wouldn't you like to be weird and fanatical and crazy and radical for something that counts? And so Paul is in this place challenging Timothy, really exhorting Timothy to really hang in there, Tim. And so this morning, it's really the call of a faithful soldier of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pick our study up in verse 13, and we'll go and complete the chapter this morning. Paul says to Timothy, verse 13, hold fast The pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. People, this is an incredibly tragic time. More, I really do think more for Timothy than for Paul. Paul's heart, no doubt though, is broken. He's crushed. We're going to go through some words today that if we understood them clearly, and if we've had the things happen in our lives that Paul had, our hearts will be touched. Our eyes will be maybe a little watered because of the reality of what this true warrior of God is going to be going through. I don't know about you, but have you ever had friends in the ministry? What about just friends who hug you, tell you that they love you? They'll tell you, looking you right in the eye, I'll be with you, brother, until the end. I love what God's done in your heart. I love with what God's doing here, and you can count on me. Have you ever had somebody like that? And then just right in the clutch, when things are rough and you're being stretched, there's a departure. They leave you just absolutely standing there high and dry. Have you ever experienced that? In a real way, Timothy feels deserted. He really senses it. He feels lonely. His man is in prison, Paul. But I'm going to argue with you that Paul feels it more. There are those that have departed from him, and it's going to break his heart. Knowing what he knows now, he's locked in this prison of sewage and of rats there in Rome. He writes to Timothy encouragement. And every one of us who have suffered can encourage those who have suffered. If we have been rejected, it's easy for us to encourage you who have been rejected. If you've been beaten, we can encourage you because we know how it feels to be beaten for the gospel's sake. And so the words that Paul says to Timothy are very heavy. We need to take them seriously. And so he says there in verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. First of all, this word hold fast, the word is echo. It means to cling to and pursue after. Timothy, pursue after the pattern of sound words, to cling to these words. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. This word pattern is interesting. In the modern day language, we'd call it the blueprints. Timothy, cling to these blueprints. Hang on to them. Why? First of all, there's things, people, in our lives we need to hold fast to. In our homes, there's things we need to hang on to. Why? The world's trying to steal our home. The world is trying to steal things out of our family. The world this morning is absolutely set against righteousness in your home. They pump TV. Weird TV, sick things into your home. There's airwaves over the radio that are corrupt. Why? To undermine all the things that you're standing for, especially with your kids. There's things that we need to hold fast to, and there's things that we need to let loose. In the Christian church, I think, I don't know, but it's my observation that in so many churches, the gospel has become so watered down. People praise the Lord. They do their Bible study, if they do. And then they just go out and see and pay for the most vulgar things. And I get caught up into that. Oh, this is a great movie. You ought to go see it. Well, all right, you know, what's it rated? PG? I thought PG meant pretty good. And you go there and all this foul language and stuff's coming out of this PG movie. And I'm over there, you know, listening, and it's kind of a cute movie. And then I spend my time covering my kids' ears. It looks like I'm boxing them in the movie theater, you know, all this stuff. Poor things. Ears are all red by the end of the movie. or we get up and leave, you know? But we got to remember, and you might say, oh, that's silly. I mean, wake up, man. This is the world. That's right. What goes in will come out in time. We need to be careful. Paul says, Timothy, hold fast. Now, I want to draw your attention to something. Look at verse 13. He says, hold fast. Verse 14, he says, keep. You might want to circle these. Verse 15, this you know. And he says in verse 18, and you know very well. These are exhortations. Timothy was against the ropes. Paul is prompting him up. You got to hold fast, Timothy. Why? He wasn't holding fast. He was reeling against the ropes. The man had taken hits from the wolves and from the work there at Ephesus, the church that he was pastoring. Now, these words that we're to hold to are sound words. The word in the Greek means healthy words, literally life-giving words. Hey, we need to hold fast. The blueprint of life-giving words, words of life, and reject words of death. You ever been around somebody that are speaking words of death? All of us have worked out there in the world, and you'll be there humming a tune, you know, whatever it is, and somebody will come by and just speak all this stuff of foul language and stuff, and you kind of feel like you have to take a shower when they get done talking. Reject sound words. In fact, stand up, like we talked about last week. Not being ashamed. Instead of being ashamed, we need to hold fast these things. Be strong in these things. Holding fast the pattern of sound words, Paul says. Now, Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man, he says, out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I don't know about you, but you know when my greatest temptation is to blow it? For guys, what is it? I know. You got a nail and you got a hammer, and you're putting those two pieces of wood together, and smack! And right then, you find out what's hidden down deep in your heart. I mean, do you hit that big finger, man, and the thing's pumping, like on the cartoon, it's huge, like the size of a basketball, and you're grabbing that thing, and you go, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh, Jesus! Oh, God, I'm thankful to be alive today. Or is it something else? Hey, for a woman, what is it, breaking your nail? No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a flippant way. I saw this girl who was a friend leaped behind this guy, and he was sitting on the couch, and she said, how you doing? And she leaped around, and she cut her fingernail on the button of the couch and tore the fingernail off. And I began to vomit. It was horrible. Oh, it was gross. And she was in such great pain, had to go to the hospital. But you find out what's down deep in that treasure, man. Oh, praise the Lord. No. Jesus says, in the heart there is stored what's been put in. We got to be careful what goes in, because it's going to come out. There's an old computer saying, Geigo, garbage in, garbage out. It's true. You can only get out of a computer what you put into it. It's not some miracle tool. Your heart will only put out what goes in. If it's pornography is going to come out of your language, out of your thinking, out of your mind. It'll be porn. If it's godliness, it's going to be godliness. It's going to be righteousness. Now, the power, by the way, as we speak, we need to be careful what goes in, because it will slip in time. Proverbs 15:4 tells us, now listen, the tongue brings healing. The tongue that brings healing is like the tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Is it not true? The power we have with our tongue, and our tongue only really reveals what's in our hearts. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in the heart of a man makes one stoop down. But listen, but a good word makes him glad. Isn't that neat? The power that we possess as Christians with the word. Is it godly words or is it ungodly words? If we could parade before us this morning those that work with us, what kind of people are we? Are we godly people or are we not? It's going to come out of our mouth. It's not really what you say when things are good. It's what is exposed in the hard times, in the times of testing. Now, Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech, my speech, your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Isn't that good? Gracefully we need to speak? Yes. We need to meter our words before they come out. What is it we're saying? The Bible says that a fool speaks quickly. We need to meter, register those words first in our mind, because it's going to come up out of our heart. It's going to go to our mind. We need to think about it, then say it if it needs to be said. Now, if you do that, you're going to be salty to some people, and that's good. But there are those who are downcast and trodden underfoot, and you speak grace to them and mercy to them. Now, I don't know about you, but my weak little brain has a strange tendency to remember a lot of things. I can't tell you what happened yesterday, but I can tell you what happened 6 years ago on August 12th or something. It's weird. But it can also be a curse. Things stick in my brain. Things stick in your brain. When was the last time you listened to the music, had something going on, or heard something on your TV, and you get out and you go to work or you go to church, and it's still in your head, and you're whistling that tune, and you're going, what am I doing singing that thing? You know, and you can always tell what radio station you've been listening to, or they can, the people around you. It sticks in our head. We need to meditate on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, godly things that lift us up, that are a blessing. Things will stick in our minds, in our hearts. They'll go in. Now, he says there in verse 13, what an example Paul is to Timothy, which you have heard from me. What an example in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. What a powerful thing Paul has. Now, this is serious to me and scary to me. He says, which you have heard, the example. Philippians 4:9 says, those things, Paul says. Now, this is heavy stuff. Paul says in Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both heard and learned in me, that you've seen in me, do those things. Don't you wish you could say that? I wish I could say that about me. Hey, exactly what you've seen, do. Paul's powerful witness that he had. But you know what? We all ought to be striving for the excellency of Christ Jesus, as Paul strove for that. And it makes me think of something that is very, very lacking, I think, in this day in which we live. There are pastors who are pastoring churches and overseeing churches, and the sheep are turning out just like their pastors. Now, to be honest with you, I don't want you to turn out like me. I want you to turn out to be like Jesus Christ. But there's a horrible thing if it's done in a wrong spirit, that sheep will become like their pastor. The pastor will be like Jesus. If he's following the Lord, the sheep will naturally follow Jesus Christ instead of the pastor. And there's pictures that are painted by ministers these days. And you can hang around fellowships. You can go on a trip or go somewhere with different fellowships. And the people are like the ministry that they're involved in. And I find that a very tremendous responsibility. It scares me to death. Hey, when we go out to dinner, the way that we are with you is the way you're going to be sometimes. And that thought never escapes me. And I, you know, just between you and I don't want to be some stoic, stiff bum to be around. I want to be myself. I want to be able to go and do the things that I can do with my family, with you. But see, sometimes people want you to be some kind of a, you know, you laugh? Yeah, I laugh. You haven't seen anything yet. You know, do I throw food at my family at rest? No, we don't do that, but we have a good time. But some people can't handle that. Now, that's innocent stuff. But when a minister begins to do things that are wrong, then what do they, the sheep begin to back off on their commitment. Why? Because the pastor's backed off. The word is not living and alive in his life. Now, if the pastor's insecure, the sheep are going to be insecure. If the pastor's a manipulator, the sheep will learn to manipulate. You will be like the example that you've had. Paul has given Timothy a great example. And the example is that he ministers in faith and in love. In the Greek, it's faithfulness and loveliness. Now look at that. Timothy, it's things that you've seen in me, you've heard in me, in faithfulness and in loveliness, which are in Christ Jesus. One commentator put it this way: when a church or any other Christian organization becomes liberal, it usually starts with the weakening of the pastor's convictions about the Word of God in his own life. Is that not true? It's very true. You know, in the ministry, thank God Paul's this way, because in the ministry, if you get too close to the ministry, your bubble gets popped. You get kind of concerned. Sometimes pictures are painted that aren't right. And that's a very serious thing. Paul here is laying out an example how the minister ought to be. Some people have coined this little phrase. I love it. It's true. When people don't walk in the Spirit, especially ministers, it's called sloppy agape. They're not showing forth the love of the Lord. We need to exercise the love of God. In Ephesians 4:15, the Bible says, "But speak the truth in love." Sometimes ministers have they think they have the right in their office to be able to say, "Well, the Lord's revealed this to me." He may have revealed it to you, but he begins to slam you about something. Speak the truth in love. If somebody's in sin and you're a overseer of a ministry or you're a friend of somebody, go to them in love. Sound words, godly words, be an example of love to somebody, just like Paul is doing here to Timothy. He says in verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, that's simply the gospel, people. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, the gospel's in your life. It's been committed to you. That good thing has been deposited, that word means, to you, Timothy. Now keep. This is a serious word, keep. It means to actually garrison or imprison within your heart. Keep it, guard over it, watch over it, preserve it, and keep it safe. Timothy, you need to keep the gospel safe in your heart. Man, don't give up, Tim. Don't lose heart. Keep it by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Now, people, if you and I this morning are tired in the ministry or in life, you are kept by the Holy Spirit today. The gospel that you have in your heart is kept by the Spirit of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the last six verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a presentation called The Faithful Soldier, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.